Welcome to Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Pastor Levi, hanging out with the one and only Lisa. What are you drinking over there today? Some holiday coffee in hand, like most days?
No, some I'm drinking Diet Dr. Pepper today.
Diet Dr. Pepper. All right.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Today we're diving into week two of our Advent series. And this is the story of King Herod, the Magi, and what happens when people seek Jesus, but for the wrong reasons.
And we're going to talk honestly today because this isn't just a Herod story. This is a human story. Our hearts search for Jesus in all kinds of ways, not always wise ones. But here's the good news. God keeps shining his light anyway.
Yeah, so let's start with a story because all of us have that moment where we were convinced we knew what we were looking for, only to find out that we were way off.
Yeah. The other day, I tore apart kind of my entire house looking for my keys. It was my other set that doesn't have a tile on it. And they're in my pocket the whole time. Not my best moment.
Yeah, I don't have any comments on that. But spiritually, this is real. Right, you could be searching in the right location, you could church, Christmas, scripture, all the right places, but you could be looking for the wrong thing.
And that's Herod. He wasn't ignorant. He wasn't uninformed. He actually knew exactly where the Messiah was supposed to be born, but he wasn't seeking Jesus to worship him. He was really seeking him to eliminate him.
Yeah, I mean, which is crazy when you think about it, right? The Magi followed a star across nations to worship Jesus for that purpose, but Herod sat on a throne 5 miles away and never took a step.
Let's open the word and take a look at it. Matthew 2 says this, "Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For he saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and Jerusalem with him."
I mean, Herod was troubled. I've always found that interesting. He wasn't troubled because a cute baby was born. He was troubled because his life and his power, his illusion of control was threatened. That baby represented the, you know, loss of control for him.
Yeah, he's kind of the poster child of a heart that wants God's blessings, but really not his authority. He searched for Jesus like someone searching for a threat, because that's how he saw him.
Yeah, so let's break down the three things that drove Herod's search. One, I think fear, right? Fear of losing his throne, fear of losing control, fear that God's plan might overturn his plans.
Fear always, it always has this powerful distorting of our vision, our spiritual vision. Herod saw a savior as not a savior, but as a rival. Many of us still do that today.
How do you think we do that?
I think because we think we want to be the drivers of our life, we see Jesus or God or the submission to who he is to make him Lord of our life. We see it as really a rival to what we think is rightfully ours.
Yeah, I can see that.
Herod was already king. He didn't want competition. And pride says, "I'll run my life. God can advise me."
Oh, yeah. So pride is the second thing that drove Herod's search, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And then number three is really that control component. Herod wanted information, not revelation. He wanted the facts, not the Messiah.
A lot of us are tempted to be Herod Christians. We want God to bless our choices, but not change them. We want his comfort, but not his kingship. And we want the star, but not the surrender.
Here's the striking part. The Magi and Herod had the same information. Only the Magi had the right motives.
Well, right. The difference wasn't access. It was attitude. Because again, the Magi are like traveling across the desert and Herod is right around the corner. The Magi sought to worship and Herod sought to control.
The Magi followed the light God gave them. Herod He just sat there on his throne, 5 miles away, still in the dark place he had created for himself.
Yeah, and I suppose this is a good place to say, if you follow the light that God gives, he will always lead you to Jesus. But if you cling to control, even the brightest star won't get through.
Scripture shows us again and again that God can deal with doubts and confusion and weakness, but a hard heart is really a real danger. Let's look at Pharaoh in Exodus. Look at the Pharisees in the Gospels. They all saw God move. They all heard truth, but they kind of refused to bow before any of it.
Yeah, and we see a similar response from Herod. Right? In Matthew 2, his heart is in full display. He sends the Magi to Bethlehem pretending that he wants to worship, but the moment they don't return, he has a giant temper tantrum. A genocide-resulting temper tantrum.
Yeah, the hard heart always goes there, though, toward defensiveness, and I think that's what I see. He's really defensive. He's angry, and then he's defensive, he's angry, and then there is self-protection. And often in our hearts and in Herod's heart, it comes at any cost.
Yeah, but here's the good news. Jesus came because our hearts are hard. He came to make them new. He came to replace stone with flesh. I love what Ezekiel says. The prophet Ezekiel says, "I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." Those are the words of God. The gospel isn't try harder. It's actually let Jesus remake your heart.
Now let's think about that for a second, because Herod isn't ancient history. I think the weird thing about Herod is I can sometimes see myself in him. Herod is maybe in a little bit in all of us.
Maybe. Like, where do you see that? Like, where do you think we act like Herod?
I think when we want God to fix our problems but not confront our sin, I think that's an issue for all of us. Like, I'm like, God, help me. But like, there's just this issue that's going on. We don't want to hear the truth of his goodness for us and confronting the sin in us. When we ask God for direction, but only accept the answers we like, you ever have that issue?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I mean, no. I mean, no. No. Yeah.
When we sing about Jesus as king, but live, I think we live like we're kings of our own world.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Taylor Swift probably has a song about that. okay. When we resist surrender because surrender feels like, surrender feels like we're losing something and we grieve something. It almost feels like death to us.
Yeah, but surrender to Jesus isn't death. It's actually resurrection. Because when Jesus becomes king, everything changes. Peace replaces fear, and humility replaces pride, and trust replaces control.
The Magi in the story went home by another route, because worship always changes, I think, our direction of our heart. I think that's a really interesting little piece in there. But it changed their physical direction, but it changes the direction when we worship, when we bow down, when we say yes to Jesus and surrender. It changes the direction of our hearts.
Well, yeah, and in the changing of the direction of our hearts, it actually it changes everything, mm-hmm. Our behavior, all the things. So at Christmas, we're reminded of this. Jesus didn't come to take your life away. He came to give you life.
He came into the world. Herod ruled. He came into the darkness. Harold.
I like that.
Harold.
King Harold.
The Harold.
Or King Harold.
King Harold. Herod created. He came into chaos that humanity made. But why did he do that? Why did he come? He came to rescue. He came to redeem. He came to reign in love.
Oh, yeah, and he still comes for us. He's still coming. Not to condemn us for our Herod moments, but to call us to himself.
Let's get real practical. If you want to seek Jesus wisely, here's just a few steps. Surrender motives before seeking direction. Ask, am I seeking Jesus to control him or to crown him? I think you follow the light you have you may not have all the answers, but take the next right step, the one that you know. Scriptures are pretty clear about that. If you know to do right, do it. And so just take the next right step. Worship, I think, comes before you actually understand. The Magi worshiped before the baby had done anything for them. Worship, again, reshapes the heart before God. It reshapes, it also reshapes the circumstances.
Yeah, and as we close, we've got some really good news that you can use this week. You don't have to be perfect to find Jesus. You just have to be willing to bow.
God's not hiding. He's not distant. He's not playing cosmic hide and seek. He's Emmanuel, God with us. And the same light that guided the Magi still shines for you. That is good news you can use.
Thanks for tuning in with us. If you've got questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. You can email those to office@evangelup.org. If you'd like to catch up on any of the previous Pearls and Swine episodes, just search Evangel Houghton on your preferred podcast platform or go to our website, evangelup.org.